It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's a new week, and Congress is back in session until they leave again for Thanksgiving next week. President Biden waited until Congress returned to sign the trillion-dollar bipartisan infrastructure bill at the White House in what's being billed as a bipartisan signing event Monday afternoon. We'll see how many Republicans actually show up. But still hanging in the balance, the larger Human Infrastructure Build Back Better Act. Democratic Party leadership said they plan to hold a vote on that Build Back Better Act this week. We'll see. In addition to all the infrastructure stuff, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said the Senate will also take up the National Defense Authorization Act this week. The debate will focus on Afghanistan, China, vaccine mandates, women in the draft, overall Pentagon spending, and other key defense issues. One of the high-profile amendment votes will be the repeal of the 2002 Iraq authorization for use of military force, which Schumer is backing. He also wants to attach the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act to the NDAA. The USICA has already been passed by the Senate. It's a major bill to increase U.S. technology and high-tech manufacturing competitiveness with China. This is a big priority for Schumer. He's trying to break a logjam with the House, which has its own very different version of the legislation. But by adding it to the NDAA, Schumer is hoping to force some action. And then there's the, well, elephant in the room, I guess, government funding. Schumer acknowledged that there isn't going to be any deal on government funding by the December 3rd deadline, so Congress will again need to pass a short-term continuing resolution to avoid a shutdown. But wait, there's more. That's that pesky debt limit. The bottom line is government funding runs out in 18 days. Congress is out next week. They're scheduled to return Monday, November 29th. Funding runs out that Friday. I'll just leave that right there. Moving on, a federal grand jury on Friday indicted former Trump strategist Steve Bannon for contempt of Congress after he refused to comply with a subpoena from the House Select Committee investigating what happened on January 6th. Bannon is the first person actually charged in connection with the panel's investigation of the January 6th insurrection. The rioters, who were trying to prevent lawmakers from certifying Trump's election loss to President Biden, echoed Trump's lies that the election was stolen through fraud. Well, committee chair Benny Thompson and vice chair Liz Cheney said they're also considering contempt proceedings against former White House chief of staff Mark Meadows, who on Thursday also failed to comply with his subpoena. Stay tuned. So negotiators from nearly 200 nations reached a deal on Saturday at the United Nations COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow to strengthen targets for reducing carbon emissions and phasing out fossil fuels. But, of course, India forced a last-minute compromise, watering down language on cutting coal use. The agreement, though, calls on wealthy nations to follow through on a promise to help poorer nations adapt and pay for costly damage from global warming. The final deal fell short of the summit's goal of securing concrete commitments to keep global temperatures from rising more than 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Aminath Shana, who's the Environment and Climate Change Minister of the Maldives, said, "The difference between 1.5 and 2 degrees is a death sentence for us." Organizers of the summit said this agreement, quote, keeps 1.5 alive. And as the weather is getting cooler, coronavirus cases have started rising again in parts of the U.S. This after a decline from the summer surge that was driven by the Delta variant. These new trends have been most alarming in the upper Midwest, Southwest, and parts of the Northeast. Nationally, the seven-day average of new cases has edged up to about 80,000. It had stalled at just over 70,000 infections per day for a few weeks, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. Public health officials are concerned to see progress against the pandemic stalling as Americans prepare to gather for Thanksgiving. Be careful, everybody. Meanwhile, the globe is just tiring of this pandemic. Austria is now imposing a lockdown, beginning today, on anyone age 12 or older who is not fully vaccinated against COVID-19. About 65% of Austrians are fully vaccinated, giving it one of the lowest rates in the EU. Under the lockdown, unvaccinated people will only be allowed to leave home for limited essential activities. Police will make spot checks on anyone moving freely in public. Unvaccinated people are already prohibited from going to entertainment venues, restaurants, hairdressers, and other places open to the public. This move comes as Central Europe is experiencing a wave of new infections. The Netherlands on Friday announced a three-week partial lockdown there. Three high-profile and racially charged cases continue in the courts this week. In Charlottesville, Virginia, on Friday, they wrapped up the third week of proceedings in what is turning out to be a very long-running civil lawsuit against a dozen individuals and groups accused of planning that deadly Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017. In Georgia, the murder trial for the three men accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery continues. And in Wisconsin, as the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse nears its end, the governor, Tony Evers, has called up 500 National Guard troops for active duty to aid police officers, if necessary, to, quote, ensure public safety. Rittenhouse is on trial for the shooting deaths of two men and the wounding of another during protests against the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Closing arguments begin Monday. And finally, it's the end of an era. Yeah, I said that. The former guy's family real estate company has reached a deal to sell the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. for $375 million. CGI Merchant Group of Miami is buying the hotel and plans to have it branded and managed by the Hilton's Waldorf Astoria Group. The sale could be finalized in early 2022, but the House Committee on Oversight and Reform plans to continue investigating, quote, conflicts of interest and potential constitutional violations raised by Donald Trump's lease of this hotel from the federal government while he was president. They added that the matter will not be fully resolved by selling off this hotel. All righty then. And one more bit of late breaking news just as we're going to press.
I'm running for governor, and I want to tell you why.
Beto's in.
This past February, when the electricity grid failed and millions of our fellow Texans were without power, which meant that the lights wouldn't turn on, the heat wouldn't run, and pretty soon their pipes froze and the water stopped flowing, they were abandoned by those who were elected to serve and look out for them.
Beto O'Rourke, running for governor of Texas. And that's just a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these What's News reports, I hope you'll check out my show. The Nicole Sandler Show airs live on the Progressive Voices Network, weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 Eastern, and is always available on video, as a podcast, however you want it, at NicoleSandler.com.